The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Always, if this is your first time joining us, I am Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today we have a good one lined up for today. It's a good word of encouragement that we want to bring you today. So again, if this is your first time joining us, via by YouTube or by Facebook, where you can comment in the section below, please let us know that you are the first time watching, and B, where you guys are joining us from. We always like to hear that. And again, this is going on our podcast. So I always want to reiterate that if I don't look at the camera often, it's because it's really predominantly for our podcast, so that I kind of focus more on the audio of this and getting this these teachings out and these and this information out. But we will bring scriptures up on the screen and different visuals, so we do want to let you know about that. So today we're going to be talking about, what does it mean in the Bible when it talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit? So we're going to go through some scriptures, and like I said, we're going to try to pull up a screen share on this so that we can go right in here to pull up some scriptures here. Here we go. This is going to be, so I'll pull this up on the screen so you can see this. So bear with me on the delay here. Again, you won't hear this on the podcast, but for the visual aspect of this, for you guys that are watching here on Facebook, on YouTube, we are in John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. But you see here on the screen, we started all the way up here in John chapter 20, verse 1. I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop on what we're dealing with here in this portion here. John is talking about the resurrection of Christ. And we see here on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And I'm not going to read all this for sake of time, but she is the first there to see that the Lord has risen. There was a folded handkerchief that was led there. And there was another disciple that came as well. And we see that Mary, again, when we scroll down here, we see that Mary stands outside of the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stoops down, looks into the tomb, and she sees two angels while sitting. Again, this is the New King James, John chapter 20, right there on your screen. There was one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And one of them said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was him. And said, "Why are you weeping, and whom you're seeking?" And she goes on and says that, "I'm looking for the Lord." He reveals himself to Mary. She goes out. She begins to testify that the Lord has risen. So now I want to go down here to John chapter 20, verse 19. We're getting up to the point where we're going to focus on today. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood. Now, this is when he was resurrected from the dead. He came and stood in the midst and said unto them, listen what he says, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So don't miss this. They saw the risen Lord. He had risen from the dead, just as he prophesied that he would. He revealed to him his hands and his feet where he was crucified. They looked upon it. They were joyful and they believed. And now look at verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, listen to this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." I want to say this again. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this is what I've got to tell you here. in the Greek understanding of this word here and this phrase, he breathed on them. It is the same connotation that we find in the book of Genesis, similar to when God created Adam from the dust of the earth. He formed a living being. He formed man from the dust of the earth, Adam. And the Bible says that he breathed the breath of life, Zoe, the breath of life into him. This is the same picture here. So when it says here that he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, this is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by this? I'm going to explain this, and then we're going to show more scriptures to back up what I'm telling you here. Because when you go to, listen, Peter, James, John, Mary, Bartholomew, Matthew, all these disciples were the same ones that were in the upper room, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the promise of the Father fell upon all them that were there, and they were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with cloven tongues of fire that rested upon each of them, and they received the promise of the Father. Now, hold on here. How can this happen twice? Again, it's two separate events. This event of being sealed with the Holy Spirit happens to every individual when they, watch this, let's go back to the context of John chapter 20. Remember, he was raised from the dead. He revealed himself as Messiah and Savior. The Bible says they looked upon his scars, his hands and feet. They believed on him. And when they looked and believed on him, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on him, and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So this, my friend, is what is called being born again. Having received the DNA of God, we call this in biblical theology regeneration or regened. Come on, some of you guys have got some bad genes, or you had some bad genes flowing through your bloodstream. In your gene pool, you had alcoholism that went from generation to generation to generation. Your daddy was an alcoholic, your grandfather was an alcoholic, and your great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Some of y'all's got drug addiction that runs in your genes. Some of y'all's got blood disorders and cancers and diseases that may run in your genes that were given to you from your physical birth. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get born again, when you believe on him and receive, come on, him as Lord and Savior, there's a supernatural process that takes place called biblical regeneration. You and I know this as being born again or saved or regened. Come on, you may have got a bad deal. You may have got a bad deck of car, a bad handout, the deal that you were shuffled, the deal that you were handed was a bad deal. But come on, you can be regened and regenerated. It may have run in my family, but it stops in my family. Come on, somebody. It may have been passed down, but it's not going to go any further in Jesus' name. The word rebirth or born again is a distinguishment from our natural birth. When we are conceived physically and inherit our sin nature. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, the new birth is a spiritual, holy, and heavenly birth. And this results in us being quickened. The Bible used the word quickened. The word quickened in Greek means to make alive or make alive spiritually. The spiritual man is made alive. The natural man in its natural state is dead in sin and trespasses until, come on somebody, the regeneration by the Lord Jesus Christ. This process cannot take place through religion. It can't take place. It cannot happen through theological school. It cannot happen through a physical brick and mortar church. It can't happen through a denomination. It can't happen through false religions. It can't happen through head knowledge. And it cannot happen through some euphoric experience. It can only happen through repentance and putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then that's when the regeneration happens. Listen, I don't know when you got saved. I know when I got saved. I know when I got reborn. I know when I got regenerated. The moment on June 2nd of 2000 at 7:45 p.m. Eastern, when I answered the altar call and came to the front and said yes to him, I could not see it. I could not touch it, but I could physically feel a supernatural process taking place in my spirit man. And I was being regenerated, and the Lord was breathing on me supernaturally, and I became a new man in Christ Jesus, and the old had passed away. And come on somebody, and behold, all things have become new. Don't ask me to get a snapshot of it. Don't ask me to get a video footage of it. Don't ask me to try to explain it away or try to articulate it in words. I cannot do it. I'm telling you, when Jesus met Nicodemus in the midnight hour, when he met him in the wee hours of the night, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's been born from his natural mother? And Jesus had to go on this course and explain to him, lest you be born again, you'll by no means perceive or see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. No man can enter the kingdom lest he be born of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, you can go to church all your life and you still won't make it into the kingdom. You can be on the committee. You can be on the building committee. You can be a donor. You could be part of staff. You could get Paul said it like this. I could give myself to be burned. I could put myself on the stake of a cross. I can give everything I give away. But if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Friends, what profit is it to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? And I want to say this. There is no measure of good works that you and I can achieve in this side of heaven that can gain us access into the kingdom. For we are saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let me move on here. Christ is formed in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and we become partakers of the divine nature of Christ. When we are made new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in this conversion, we will produce evident fruit of that. Now, let me show you some more scriptures here. I'm going to pull something up here before we do this so you won't see this. I want to pull up 2 Corinthians. If you want to follow me there, you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to go down here to verse 21 and 22. So let's share this. Let me pull this up. Give it just a moment for you guys that are watching. This is why I always want to encourage you. If you're able to download our app, you can watch this on the app on the YouTube channel or here live on Facebook, of course. So this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Now listen to this. This is 21. Ephesians, or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now listen to this. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Who does this? God. Who also, you see this on the screen? Listen to this. Who also has what? has sealed us. Come on, somebody say he sealed us. That word seal in the Greek here is to stamp something, listen to this, with a private mark or seal. Let me say that again. I said he has sealed us. And it means to mark or seal privately. Listen, when I became born again, nobody saw it happen. I mean, the only thing that people saw on that night of June 2nd, 2000, they saw me go to the altar and they saw me a broken man who needed a redeemer. And they saw me weeping at the altar, but they did not see God himself step down and breathe life into me and seal me with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's a supernatural event. But I'm telling you, something happened that night again, and it happens to every individual under the sound of my voice. When you say yes to him and you're born again, he seals you, or listen to this, he marks you privately. Golly, guys, this is so powerful. You're marked and known by him, and the Bible says he knows those that are his. But that's not all. Listen to this. Let me go down here. So he seals us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Somebody say a guarantee. What does that mean? In the Greek connotation of this word guarantee, it means a deposit of a purchase of something. Let me say that again. The word guarantee means a deposit of the purchase of something. In other words, when you put these two Greek words together, listen to this. When you put these two Greek words together, they give us a picture of what in the natural we call an engagement or a covenant of a purchased possession. Oh, listen, this is all going to come alive to you more than ever when I get over here and when I get on a little bit closer, farther along with this. So we're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me go there real quick, and we're going to go down here to verse 13 and 14 while I've got you on the screen here. Listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. What are we talking about? We're talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance. Look at this. This is Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him, you also trusted. Listen to this. After you heard the word of truth. Now, what did I say earlier? When do we get sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? When does he breathe this new life into us? When are we regenerated? When after we hear the word, faith cometh by, come on somebody, you can finish this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the word, believe in the word, and apply the word, after we have trusted and heard the word of truth, listen what Paul says here, which is the gospel of your salvation. Does it not say that right there on your screen? That's in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The gospel of salvation, in whom also having believed, look at this. What happens after you believed? You were sealed. Somebody say sealed. Again, we told you what that Greek word sealed means. You were sealed with what? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit a promise. This is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On June 2nd of 2000, I got saved and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But shortly after that, I got baptized with the endowment of power of the Holy Ghost. Again, disciples believed on a risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When they believed, they were regenerated. They're rejoice not that you have, come on, authority or power over demons, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was prophetically speaking that when they believed on him, that their names were now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do they get on the Lamb's Book of Life? Through regeneration. Born again. Why do you think it says in the book of Revelation that when the books are open and the book of life is open, if your name is not on that registry of the book of life, then you are not making it into the kingdom. You will be cast out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth and ultimately into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. So again, when you believed on him, listen what it says, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But look, there's more. Who is, look at this, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. In the natural, when here on earth, when we fall in love with our spouse, which is, let me back up. When we fall in love with someone, we develop a relationship with them. We get to know them. We get to know them intimately, but not sexually. Watch this. But we get to know them in a relationship sense. Then when we know that this is the individual that we want to make a covenant with for life. We want to leave our mother and father and we want to cleave to this individual and become one with them. We, listen to this, we enter into an engagement. I'm using a Western perspective here for you to understand this. This is modern cultural understanding of this and bringing this out, what this means by being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We enter into an engagement. We ask them, will you marry me? Or in other words, will you enter into a lifelong covenant with me? Meaning you'll be with me through good and bad and ups and downs, through sickness and through health. Come on, somebody, through good and bad. And as a token, what do? You give the significant other a ring. What does that ring? You put that ring on their finger. I have one right here. It's my wedding ring. This ring seals the covenant. And what does it mean? Now, with this ring on my finger, it's a physical expression to the world that I am taken. I am in covenant with someone else. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish somebody would get the picture of this. What does that mean? Listen, I know there's not a lot of people out there anymore that will appreciate this, and there's not a lot of Christians that even believe in this anymore, but I'm telling you, biblically speaking, it means that, listen, I can't go around dating anymore. Why? Because I'm theirs. I'm significantly in covenant with my spouse. I'm not available anymore. I'm in a commitment. And then eventually when you marry, the ring signifies the covenant. So when someone sees the ring, they're like, oh, well, they're quote unquote married. Or what we would understand is they're in covenant with someone. Therefore, it is off. They cannot be taken. They cannot be purchased because they're already in covenant with someone. And you say, well, I don't understand. Let's go a little bit further. 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to pull this up, but 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Listen what the Apostle Paul said. Do you know not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Here we go. Now, what did I say? When you are married, the two become one. When you come into covenant with God, you become one with Him. When He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise, you become one with Him. Now watch this. Let me read on. Listen to what He says. For the two, He says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Hello, He's in you. Whom you have from God. Listen to this. And you are not your own. When you became born again, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you were marked by God, branded by God, and bought with a price. Therefore, you are no longer your own. I'm in the book, whether you like it or not. Listen to this, verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Can I tell you what Paul is saying here? Listen, he's saying if you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you and you go out here and commit fornication, you are not only, listen, you're not only bringing yourself into bed with them, you're bringing God by the Spirit into the bed with you. Hello, think about that the next time you do that or you think about doing that. Is this too deep for you? Let me read a little bit more. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 20 through 31. Ephesians 5, 2 through 31. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He, listen to this, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Now, hold on. Now, listen. Here's the part that'll blow you out of the water. Ready? This is a great mystery. Listen to what he says. This is Paul. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. So that whole text that I just read to you about husbands and wives and husbands should do this and wives should do this, it was all an illustration. And the real reason he was talking to you and I about it was for him to explain to you how we are in relationship with Christ as the head and we are His body of the church. So now when you read that, read this now. He's sanctifying her. He's cleansing her with the washing of the word. He's presenting her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor such thing, that the church should be holy and without blemish. No wonder the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you unto myself. Listen, did you know the word whore is in the Bible? So when I say this, don't get offended. But listen, I don't know about you. Listen, let me talk to all the men for a second. No godly man is going to want to be in covenant with a whore. You don't want your wife whoring around, committing adultery in the natural. And listen to me, Christ does not want a glorious church to be a whore and whoring around. And just like in the natural, you've got a lot of people that are wearing rings on their fingers that is supposed to depict a covenant, or supposed to testify that they are taken, they are sealed, and that they're in a covenant, and that they're off limits, but they violate that covenant and they just go sleep around whatever they whatever and whoever they want. We've got a bunch of people in the body of Christ that are claimed to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And yet they continue to whore around. Woo, listen, if I was in a church right now, it would get real quiet right there. Listen to this, John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. That gets me to my next point here, because I know as sure as I'm teaching this, somebody's going to say out there, well, listen to this, Brother Ricky, I'm so glad that once I get saved, then there is, it don't matter what I do. I can continue to whore around. I can continue to keep drinking. I can continue to beat my wife. I can continue to do drugs, and I can cheat. I can steal. I can blaspheme the name of the Lord. I can do whatever I want because I am sealed. Hallelujah. Well, let's just read on here. In John 10, 27 through 29, he says, my sheep hear my voice, my sheep, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, they're right there, Brother Ricky, right there. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Right there it is, Brother Ricky. No one can take my salvation away. They are not going to snatch it out of his hand. Well, let's read that really close again. The Lord speaking, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now let's read on. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You know what? I agree with that. Nobody can take my salvation. Come on, y'all know this old song. Come on, this joy that I have. I'm not going to sing. Y'all don't want me to sing because then everybody, but our viewership will drop. So I'm just going to tell you the words. I'm not going to sing it. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. Come on, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. So the world can't take it away. Listen, this born again regeneration, the world didn't give it. So the world can't take it away. God gave it to me. God sealed me. And the world and you and anybody else, the devil cannot take it from me. So I agree with that. But listen to Colossians 1, 19 through 23. Colossians 1, 19 through 23. For if it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. Does everybody agree what the Apostle Paul is speaking to or alluding here is you and I who once walked according to the course of this world, that's what the Bible talks about, walked according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, we were unregenerated. We were heathens. We were lost. We didn't have a covenant with God. He says this, we were once alienated and enemies by wicked works. But listen to this, but now he has reconciled. Praise God. Now listen to this. Let me go to verse 22, Colossians 1, 19, 22. In the body of his flesh through death. How did he reconcile us? Through the death, burial, and resurrection. Listen to this. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now listen to verse 23. Nobody wants to talk about verse 23. This is Colossians 1:19 through 23. Here's verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, listen to this, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. I'm going to read it again for the back row that didn't hear me. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope. Listen, nobody can take your salvation. Nobody can snatch you from his hand, but there is one person that can. You ready for this? And you know who that is? You and me. No one, you can't take my salvation. Satan can't take my salvation. But you know what? It's a free will choice whether I continue. Is that not what he says? If you indeed continue in the faith, it's my choice to every single day I wake up, I choose to continue in the faith. I choose not to move away from the gospel. I choose to read the word of God. I choose to get in prayer and commune with him every day. I choose to get up and go to church and gather together with other believers, as a matter of some, even more so as the day approaches. I choose to continue to honor him with the first fruits of my increase, so that my vats may be filled and my barns be filled and vats would burst forth with new wine. I choose to bless his holy name. I choose to praise him and all that's within him. Praise his holy name. Nobody's making me do it. Nobody's forcing me to do it. I am choosing to continue in the faith and not move away from the gospel which I've heard. I'm trying to tell you, friends, it's just like a covenant of marriage in the natural. Listen, I've been married this November. November 17th will be 21 years that I've been in covenant with my wife. I have been faithful to her. I have never committed adultery on her. It was not because it was an obligation. It was not because someone put a gun to my head and forced me to. It was out of free will. It was out of choice. And it was because I understood what covenant is, what a relationship is. I understood what love, mercy, and grace is. And when we said those vows, we met those vows and we said it to the end. Listen, people have a choice. But nobody preaches this today. We have a choice. Nobody's met. But here's, listen, I don't want to even go on. I'm going to get on a rabbit trail. But here's the glorious part of this. Because this, I know that there was some hard things to digest here, but let's get back to what we're talking about. What does it mean to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Here's the awesome thing about this, is when we say yes to him, he supernaturally marks you and brands you as his. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, that is, if you want to know something that makes me sleep good at night, to know that I'm marked, I'm branded, and he knows that I'm his, and I know that I'm his. Come on, that we are marked. He supernaturally marks us. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit put an engagement ring on you. Let me go back to what I said. The word guarantee there means, listen, it's a guaranteed purchase. In other words, he puts the ring, the Holy Spirit puts the ring on me in the supernatural. And then the glorious day will come where I will get the redemption of my purchase, which is eternal life, which is, by the way, the Bible says is the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? The end of your faith is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We are sojourners, the Bible said, and we are passing through. Heaven, come on, we are in this earth, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Why? Because we have been marked, we have been branded by him, by the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise. I hope this makes sense to you guys. And listen, I want to close this today If you're watching this today, listen, this would make every believer on here shout right now. But listen, if you're not born again and you're not saved, then you don't even understand what I'm talking about. You're not sealed. You're not in covenant with him. You have not received the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. And we want to give you that opportunity right now. So if you're watching this, you're listening to this podcast today, you're watching this broadcast today, and you're on the other side of that camera, and you say, Brother Ricky, I've never given my heart to the Lord. I've never been born again. I've never been regenerated. What you're speaking of, I've never experienced this in my life. I don't even know that if I was to die right now, that I would make it into the kingdom. Friends, we want to give you that opportunity right now, right where you're at, where you're listening. I don't care if you're in your office, in your car, in your kitchen, in your living room, where you're at. If you'll just take that moment, just stop everything. And if you will just repent, if you will just repent of your sins, what does that mean? It means you're turning from doing things your own way. And you're saying, I'm no longer going to do it my way. I'm going to do it his way. I'm going to say yes to him. I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to put my faith in him. I'm going to believe on him. And I am going to actively and persistently serve him all the days of my life. Listen, if that's your heart and you believe that, and you truly believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again and is today seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, then you are saved. Listen, and by faith, the Bible says, when you believe that, there's a supernatural process happening right now, and you're being regenerated, regened. You're being marked. You may not be able to see this, but if the veils were removed from your eye, you're being marked. You're being branded by God, and your name is being put in the Lamb's book of life. And now listen to me. Paul said it like this. He said, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, neither height nor depth. Come on, things living, things dead, things persistent, things present, things future. He says, principalities can't separate me. No demons can separate me. Come on, nothing here nor there can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me. But listen, but you and I have a duty as a believer. Listen, just like in the natural, you talk to anybody that's been married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You know what it takes? Commitment. You know what it takes? Sacrifice. You know what it takes? Forgiveness, relationship, communication. This is the same exact thing it takes with your relationship with Christ. Every single day, talk to him, pray to him, listen to him, read his word, get into his presence, worship him, praise him, give him the good, give him the bad, give him the ugly. Come on, worship him in the good times, worship him in the bad times. This is what it means to be in covenant. So hallelujah, we celebrate with you today if you've been born again, and we welcome you into the kingdom. Now, I want to encourage you, if you made that decision, get you a Bible, begin to read it. If it's possible, get plugged into a Bible believing, spirit-filled, covenant, doctrinally sounded church that you can grow in with other believers. If that's not possible, get a small group or get involved in online. We welcome you to be a part of our gathering, whatever the case may be, because we want you to be discipled. We want you to be equipped. We want you to be, like Paul said, rooted and grounded in the word so that you're not easily blown by every wind of doctrine or you're not moved away. Because I'm telling you guys, if you don't get discipled, you don't get in the word, you don't get in prayer, you don't go to, you don't spend time in corporate gatherings, whatever that looks like, the enemy is going to start pulling you away. He'll use the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He'll use these things to pull you away from the gospel. And we don't want to see that happen to anybody. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. We want to give you an opportunity, guys. If you've not yet downloaded our free app, please do that. You're going to see that right there on your screen come up. You can download that. Again, go to the Android store, go to the Apple store. You type in End Time Headlines, download that free app. You're going to get into your hands, right there in your hands. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to get notified of every news and headline from a prophetic perspective, as well as you're going to see our podcast. You're going to be able to hear it. You're going to be able to visualize it. You're going to see it or watch it, however you want. All that's going to be at your fingertips right there with your Android or your Apple phone. Again, and it's free. So there's no excuse, guys. Just download that and let that be a great blessing to you. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity, if this ministry continually blesses you, it encourages you, it equips you, it informs you, all the above, you, again, we want you to pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. And you could do that by simply two different ways. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. If you go to the app, you can easily give online by going down to the bottom right there, like you see on the left of your screen. Scroll down, click on that little heart that says donate. You can give electronically there, or you can give what I call old school. You can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And again, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, guys, as always, we appreciate you taking out the time today to hop on here. I hope you've learned something new today. I hope it's been a great blessing to you. Again, if you're watching by YouTube, do not forget to hit the notification, the bell right there. Hit subscribe so that you can keep up with all of our latest messages. Don't forget to subscribe to us on podcasts. We are on Spotify. We're on Apple. If you're watching by Facebook Live, again, we appreciate you guys hopping on here as always. We are going to sign off for today. We'll be back on here tomorrow. We're going to finish off the week tomorrow. I think we're going to do a prophetic viewpoint, which basically means we will take some headlines throughout the week, and we're going to discuss these, some things that are happening in the world and world events from the lens of from Bible perspective or prophecy. So we will probably be doing that tomorrow. So be looking forward to that. As far as what topic it will be, I don't know fully yet. There's a lot of things going on. So we will see what transpires between now and then. But nevertheless, we will be on here tomorrow. So be looking for that. But until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.